started a class Wednesday night dealing with the growth of the church and why it's necessary for the church to grow. What we're going to look at tonight kind of goes along with that in a way. Jesus used many ways of teaching to those he came in contact with. A great majority of his teachings was by parables. Some of them had quite lengthy, the parable of the 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins. Some of them was not so long, and some of them just contained one verse in them. But keep in mind, the parables he used in teaching was centered around the context being discussed. So we need to always keep that in mind, that context there, even in a parable, of what is going, where the parable falls, is under what context to it. And that's what we kind of want to look at a little bit tonight, such as the prodigal son, the marriage feast, or the lost sheep, whatever it may be. Context is important of what has been discussed as to why Jesus used parables. And simply, a parable is a physical thing teaching a spiritual lesson. That's all it is. So we need to keep that in mind. But we want to go back and pick up, before we get to Luke chapter 23, with the destruction of Jerusalem, just a few verses to kind of get our thought in line of what we're trying to do. In Matthew 24, verses 1 and verse 3, Christ is talking to his disciples. In verse 3 of Matthew 24, Christ states his disciples came to him privately. So they were coming to him privately in order to ask him a question concerning the magnificence of the temple that they were looking at. In Mark 13, verse 1, states that one of his disciples saith unto him. So you have disciples in Matthew 24. In Mark, you have one disciple. One disciple probably asked the question among while the other disciples were there. So possibly that. Then in Luke 20 and verse 45, states, then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. And so the question they've been asking is about Jerusalem. Because he says there should not be one stone left upon the other. So this is the context of what is being asked about Jerusalem. And he goes to quite length, especially in Matthew, describing what that destruction is going to be, as well as in Mark and also in Luke. But Matthew gives the greater detail of what's going to go on. We are told of the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, when he says, when ye, that ye is the disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is the Roman army, spoken by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, or the temple, whosoever readeth, let him understand. In Mark 13 and verse 14, Mark there said, but when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, they shouldn't have been standing in the temple, but they were, they should not have been standing there, then let them that is in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him readeth understand. In Luke chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, Luke says, and when ye, the disciples, shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. So Christ is giving them a warning of what's going to take place, and he's discussed it to his disciples because they're the ones that have asked the questions on that. The book of John does not record this destruction of Jerusalem. John only records in John chapter 2 and verse 13, he states concerning Jesus, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The destruction of Jerusalem would never have been raised again. It was destroyed permanently. But Christ is using the temple that was destroyed compared to the temple of his body, which would be raised in 3 days. He said, I will raise it up. Luke 23 deals with Jesus' trial. If you look at verses, Luke 23 and verse 18 and verse 28, in verse 23, Barabbas is released to the Jews. Verse 28, Jesus is turned over to the Romans for the crucifixion. That kind of sets the thing of what we're going to look at this verse in Luke 23 and verse 31. When Luke there records, for if they do these things in the green tree, what will be done to the dry tree? The comparison of that which is living and that which is dead. It could be, say, the same of a church. Is it a living church or is it a dead church? Is it a living faith? Is it a dead faith? But that's the questions that's been asked. The green tree is one that is full of life, with all its foliage, abundance of fruit, such need to be preserved, the green tree. If we have those in a yard, whatever, we try to take care of them as best we can, that they always remain green, that they always produce the fruit that they need to produce on. So for a tree to be green and produce, must be filled with juice and sap. That's two things that a tree needs to have. Dry tree is the very opposite. When you look at Luke chapter 13, and beginning with verse 6, the parable that Jesus spoke, he said, he spake a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then thou shalt cut it down. It didn't bear fruit, it was dead. And that's the danger, brothers and sisters, in the church. We can be a living church or we can be a dead church. What does it take to be a living church? The same thing that it takes a green tree to have. We must be filled with the words that are in this Bible and how to defend what we believe. The application in Luke chapter 23 and verse 31 is meant to be a spiritual one. There are different physical words that are used in the Bible to describe Christ. And so we have those physical things that describe Christ as far as that. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Who is the tree of life? It's Christ. Christ is that tree of life. John 10 and verse 10. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So Christ is the way that we receive life. Why could Christ give life and give it more abundantly? Well, one thing he is referred to as the tree of life. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, that being Christ, to the glory of God through us. So all the promises of God are complete in Christ. There's no promises lacking or left out that Christ didn't fulfill, the promises that he had. So he was filled in Christ. The same word is used in Matthew as far as being complete. It's the same word used in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20 concerning the feeding of the 5,000. And when they took up 12 baskets full. The word complete is the same word as full. They were full. Nothing else could be added to those baskets. They were completely full. And so it is with Christ as far as concerning the promises that God gave him, that he fulfilled all of that. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, child grew and became strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. 4 and verse 1, then Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. So this word filled means he was complete in everything. There's all its meaning in that. John 1 and verse 14, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. Christ had it all. The Father gave all to him. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in him Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And 1 and verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And so we have these physical words, but they describe who Christ was in that. A green tree is not adapted to burn, but a dry tree is. So if you're a green tree, Satan cannot touch you. But if you're not, then you're subject to serve Satan more than God. So when you look at the application of this verse, Christ is about to be crucified. As you turn back to, to Luke chapter 23, verse 27, there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. So verse 27, Christ is about to be crucified. Verse 28, Christ tells him not to weep for him, but for themselves and for their children. In verse 29, he tells of what would soon come to pass and a warning of what would beset those who were under the conditions which he here describes. And he says, behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren. Again, same words used in Matthew 24. That this is the same context that we're looking at here. This is from Matthew 24 in that. And the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. They were not wanting to fall under the destruction of what the Roman government soldiers would do. They said they'd rather have the mountains fall on them than have to go through that. Verse 30 tells how great their punishment will be. And then verse 31, Christ speaks this parable. If they do these things in a green tree, what shall they do in the dry? The they there is the Roman army, because he was turned over to the Roman army. The green tree is Christ. The dry wood was the nation of Israel. Matthew 3 and verse 10 says, and now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Christ is pronouncing punishment upon Israel for what they were going to do. Matthew 27 verse 25, all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And so it was. Peter says in Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he that made him who knew no sin, that we may be righteous. Christ was pure. If we accept his and we're baptized, his blood forgives us of our sin, we are then declared righteous. The green wood or tree, it's a tree of life, Christ, who came to give life, that we could be a green tree full of life. Punishment in this verse carries a further meaning than just the physical aspects of punishment. Those who have life will suffer death. That was the green tree as well as the dry tree. They're going to suffer death, be punished. They suffer persecutions and even put to death. And this is the only death that the green tree would suffer. It would just suffer one death. And then there would be no more punishments, no more sufferings, no more persecutions. Christ says in Matthew 25, verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundations of the world. Those who are the dry wood or tree will suffer things in this life. Even though we may have eternal life, we're still going to suffer things. But the dry tree, their punishment will not end at life here on earth. They will have another punishment. And it will be hell. When Christ says, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46, he says, he shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous, eternal death. We'll suffer one death. We'll suffer one punishment. That's what Israel was going to suffer. They were going to suffer punishment. But those who believed in Christ and kept his laws, they would never again be punished. They would enjoy the heaven that Christ had went and prepared for them. But those of the dry nature will suffer punishment in eternity, continually. So it's a danger, brothers and sisters, it's reason we try to talk about growth in the church. Which way are you going to choose? To be a green tree takes a lot of study. And we have capable teachers, and this church, to me right now, is pretty solid. But there have been other churches that have been solid that have gone back into the world. Never underestimate the power of Satan. He goes about throughout the world seeking whom he may devour. And he could be one of us. But that was what the parable taught. The Roman army, Christ was the green tree, Israel was the dry tree. And we see that because they're the one that had him put to death. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, consider these things and go back and look and make sure I'm not misrepresenting something in that parable that was spoken. But Christ came to die for us. He shed his blood upon the cross. He arose from the dead. Therefore, Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've not done that, take advantage of the opportunity that you have tonight. Tomorrow may never come. We may never get home. We never know when God is coming. He knows. He knows the extension of how long you're going to be here on life. He knows what kind of death you're going to die. He knows. We don't. Time for the end tomorrow. Keep these things in mind. If you have obeyed the gospel, you fail to follow the directions of God, you need to repent and pray that God forgives you of that. And this congregation will pray along with you. Together we stand and sing.